So we're going to start a whole new topic of, it's in buying and selling, but we're going to switch subtopics and talk about kinyonim. Different ways to acquire things when it's already binding, when you can back out. So we're going to start with kinyonim. And the case we'll start with tonight is one that Marisham dealt with. And if you got the second email, Reuven purchased hides from Shimon and Levi, and he made a down payment to make the kinyan. And the rule deal was that whenever he would need them, he would just take them as he needed them, and they would be stored by Shimon and Levi, by the partners. But what happened was that there was a buyer, and all those hides got burnt up. I mean, the ones that he hadn't gotten yet. So the question is, does he get his money back, or does he stop to pay the rest for those that he had not received yet? In other words, a more contemporary case is, we go to a store and we pay for an item and it's too big to carry back on our own, and they're going to deliver it to us and it gets stolen before it gets stolen from their warehouse, or it gets destroyed, it gets burnt up. Can we say, I want my money back? Or can they say, you paid for it, you bought it, and it's your thing that got burnt up. Why should we give you your money back? We don't have any item left. What do we learn in Yeshiva and Baba Metzia? Mem Baba Mebeis. Amar Rav Yochanan. It's a machlokas. I'm just going to bring down the way we pass it. Rav Yochanan says, Devar Torah Moos Konos. Midor Raisa, money is good to make a kinyan, to acquire metatlin. And tonight we're also talking about movable objects. We're not talking about real estate. That's going to be 2 or 3 weeks from now. Right now we're talking about movable objects. And Rav Yochanan says, Midoraisa, money can be used to make a kinyan. But why is it that the Mishnah says, and Allah is, that to acquire a metatlin, a movable object, you have to use kinyan meshicha, meaning you have to pull it, physically move it, or certain things you can pick them up, make a kinyan hagbah. Why is it that you have to physically take possession of the object that you are purchasing? Gezeira shema yomar lo nisufu chitacha ba'aliyah. Because we're afraid that if we would just leave it on the daraisa din, that you paid the money, but the item was still in the seller's possession, we're afraid that it might get burnt down, and the attic will burn down, and it'll say, your wheat got burned up, and I'm not responsible. It's not going to cause any loss to the buyer, because whoever started the fire is going to have to be chayiv to pay, because he's a mazik. He'll pay and he'll get his money back from the mazik. So Gemara says no. We're afraid that it'll happen accidentally. There's no one to make a claim. A spark caught fire and it burnt down the silo.
Who says we're going to catch the arsonist?
Right, and okay, well, that was the Havina, that we would catch him. Now that we're saying it's an onus, either we can't catch him or there's no one to catch. So what's the issue? Imuk mislu b'rishusa, if you place the merchandise in the rishus of the buyer, I'm saying if you kept it in the buyer's rishus, so then he'll let it burn. But if you make the seller responsible, if you put it in the seller's rishos, masa nafshi tarachamas, he's going to try to be masa nefesh to try to save it. He's not just going to let it burn down because he knows he's going to take a loss. He'll call the 911 very fast. Ve'ilo. But if you leave it on the daraisa din and you say that we're going to keep it on midaraisa, that it belongs to the buyer now, so the seller will say, okay, it's not mine anyway. I'll wait a little bit before I call. Maybe it'll go out by itself. Right? He's not dealing with his own personal loss, so there we're afraid that he's going to let it burn down. He won't make the same effort knowing that it's his. So from here we have this halacha that even though midoraisa kesef can make a kinyan, it can make an act of acquisition, it is a good act of acquisition, the chacham made a takana that it does not work, that it won't work. Because we're afraid of nisrufu chitach v'aliyah, we're afraid that it will burn down and the seller will not act with enough expediency to save it. Now next week we'll talk about possible exceptions to that rule, but as of now, generally that's what we're saying. We're saying that we are afraid that it'll burn down, and the seller will not be quick enough to save it. That's the first thing we need to know, that when we're dealing with movable objects, even though at the biblical level, midaraisa, you just give a penny, you give a shava pruta, the value of a pruta, you now own that whole gigantic refrigerator or car, whatever you made your down payment on, the Chachamim said that we're afraid that you go home and you leave the car or the refrigerator, the hides, the case of the Marsham that we're talking about, in the possession of the seller, and if something happens, he won't be fast enough, to quick enough to save it, because it's not his loss, it's your loss. Right? So the question now becomes, what happens if this accident does happen? Is there anything wrong in you, the buyer, saying, I want my money back? Now, why should there be anything wrong? So we're going to have to introduce two topics of when it is improper to back out of a deal. Right? If you make a deal with someone, at what point does it become improper or impossible to back out of a deal? Right? There's two different issues we have to deal with. The first one is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Mem Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Devarim, if there was just an oral commitment, there was nothing more than words. You talked to someone and you made a deal that you're going to buy his car, you're going to buy his refrigerator. Rav says, and then you want to back down. Rav says, Ein Bahem Mishum Chusrei Amana. If you want to back down, that's not called a lack of integrity. But Rav Yochanan says, Yesh Bahem Mishum Chusrei Amana. That if you're renege on an oral commitment that you make with someone, so that is Mechusrei Amana, you are called someone who is lacking in integrity. And that is the way we paskin. If you look on the second side of the handout in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Dalet, Siv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you deal with someone with words alone, Hareza Roy Lo Laman B'Diburo, it is fitting, it's proper for you to uphold your word. Even though you didn't take a single penny, but the Rosham, you didn't make any documented kinyan, below he nechmaske, you didn't give any deposit, you didn't do anything, you just agreed. And chol hachozer, anyone that does retract that agreement, even though he doesn't get a mishapara, we'll see that soon, he's called a mechusrei amana, he's called lacking in integrity. Ve'ein ruach chachamim nocha himenu, and the chachamim don't get pleasure from such a person. Now, what exactly does that involve? It's the Chachamim don't like what you're doing. Maybe the Chachamim don't like other things that we do. Is there anything practical if we back down on our word? So, Pizchei Choshen brings from different Maramakamas, it's not tonight's year, but he brings that if there's a Bezdin, the Bezdin has to warn the person. You should know, once you made that oral commitment, don't think it's nothing. Don't think that, it's only words, I didn't make any kinyan, I could just back out. I said I was going to buy the house, I said I was going to buy the car, I said I was going to buy the refrigerator, and we made a deal, we didn't shake hands, we didn't do anything, but I said I'm going to buy it. Don't think that you could just walk away from it. The Bezdin is mechuyev to tell you that you should go ahead with it. And he brings from the Mishpat Shalom, that Medina, according to Halacha, Makinos HaShetesi Nasha, the Bezdin will hit him until he's ready to die, because they're trying to force him to do a mitzvah. You did something wrong. You said that you were going to do something, and you went back on your word. The Chachamim don't like that. You're Mechusrei Amana, you are lacking in integrity, and we're going to force you to uphold your integrity, even if it's going to kill you. However, he says, nowadays we can't do that. If the Bezdin would kill someone for not backing down in the world, the Bezdin would be kept killed. It would be, they'd get arrested. So let's see some exceptions. So the Rama says one exception to this rule. He says an exception is, at least he brings a machlokas, he finds, not that he can't afford it, but he finds out that, you agree to buy this refrigerator for $800, and then you get home and you see there's a sale, the same model for $400. You find that it's going to be a big loss if you go through with this thing. You didn't make any kinyan, you just agreed, and you said, okay, I'll bring my money later. And then you get home and you see that you could get it much cheaper. And we're not talking that it was onah, that he was price frauding you. It was a special sale, you saw he had the right price, but you found a bargain, or you got home and someone gave you a present, the refrigerator, and now you don't need it anymore. So the Rama brings his machlokas, and he holds that even if the price, there's two prices, you still shouldn't change your mind. The Shach says that there's a suffix, and it seems like Poskim there would be room to stand on that. If you see that you're going to take a big financial loss from going ahead with that deal, so then you're not mechuyev to it. So machlokes.
What?
The Rama says Trey Tari is two shar, and there's two prices. If you find there's another price, you can get it cheaper, so then that's not mechus v'yamana. According to the, it's a machlokes. And Pisri Choshen brings from a few of the Achronim that it seems like they use their semech on that. Another exception to that rule is if this is only talking where all the details have been decided. You've agreed upon the price, you've agreed upon all the details, there's nothing missing except you coming back with the money, coming back to make a kinyan. But if there's anything that was still left hanging, saying, I want to talk it over with my wife first, I want to ask someone advice. Okay, we are agreeing, I hear what you're saying, it sounds good, but I want to talk it over with someone. So you're reserving the right to back down. So if that case, you're not lacking integrity. If you come back and say, look, I talked it over, and I found out that it's not good for me, I don't want it. So in that case also, there's no mechusrei amana, you're not called someone lacking in integrity. So in general though, if you do make a deal and the price is set and everything is agreed upon, the delivery date and the details and everything is done except a formal kinyan, it's not so simple to just say I'm backing down on my oral agreement, even though it was just oral. There was nothing written, nothing signed, no kinyan, no nothing, just an oral agreement between two people, not even a handshake, no witnesses, no handshake, nothing. It's just an agreement between two people to consummate a kinyan. If you renege on that, you are someone who reneges on that is a mechusrei amana, and at the times when Besen was strong, they would beat him up until he died or kept his word. Okay, so that's one halacha to keep in mind, right? So you're here, you bought this refrigerator and it got burned out. We have to, that probably wouldn't apply over here, because when you're not going to get the refrigerator, right? Suppose you went to the store and I agree to buy the refrigerator, and in the meantime it gets stolen, it gets burnt down, the store burns down. I certainly don't have any obligation as lacking integrity if I decide not to buy it. It's not here anymore, right? So that certainly doesn't apply to our case. But just to know that this will come up in the coming weeks, that there is a halacha mechusrei amana, that if there is a oral agreement, it's all set, there's no problems, so it is wrong to renege on that agreement. Here there's a good reason. You're not going to give me the goods, so I don't have to give you the money. Okay, now there's another halacha. It comes from the Gemara and Bamitzi on the first side of the handout again. The Mishnah on the Amdalad Amanav says, right, we're talking at times nowadays where even though midoraisa money could work as a kinyan, but bizman hazeh, we said the chacham mina takana, you have to do meshicha, money does not work as a kinyan. So the Mishnah says, nasan lo mos v'lo moshechim mina peiros. If the buyer gave the money to the seller and he did not physically do meshicha, he didn't pull the peiros yet, yochel lachzebo, either one can change their mind, because they didn't make the formal kinyan. He doesn't own it yet. Once you own something, you can't change your mind, unless it's like all those cases we learned in the past. If there's a mekach tos, there's a defect, the price is wrong. But normally, once you make a kinyan, you have to keep it. But over here, since he only paid the money and he didn't do meshicha yet, either one can retract, can renege on the sale. Abu Amr, but the Chachamim said, right, after you get an aliyah on Shabbos, you make a Misha Beirach, right? You say the Misha Beirach Av Misha Yaakov, Hashem who gave a bracha to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov should give a bracha to this person that just got an aliyah. So this person who backs out of a sale, when he gets an aliyah, he doesn't get a Misha Beirach, he gets a Misha Para. And the Misha Para means like this, that we say Misha Para me anshe darha mabel midarha floga, Hashem who paid up those people in the generation of the Mabul and those generation of the Haflaga when they built that tower, Hashem scattered them. Who asid lehipara, that's Hashem, that same Hashem, is going to pay back Mishein Omi B'diburo, someone who does not stand by his word. Right, so, that's not a Misha Beirach, this is a Misha Para. Someone who paid the money, even though he didn't make a Kinyan Mashiach yet, he reneges on his sale, so then he gets a Misha Para. The Gemara, I have it, the last thing on the handout says, what's the difference between these two halachas? So the Gemara says, that if it's just oral words, it's just devarim, it's just an oral commitment, so then we just say it's ein ruach chachamim nochem, and the chachamim aren't happy. But there's no mishapara. We don't say avol amu the person who's going to get a mishapara. But if in addition to the oral commitment there was a transfer of money, even if it's not the full payment, it's only a down payment, if there's any transfer of money involved, since midor raisa, that's a good kinyan. If the person then reneges on the sale, either the buyer or the seller, they have the right to, because that's what the Takanas Chachamim was, that you have a right to retract the sale, you have a legal right, but doing so will involve a mishapara, and we'll see soon what mishapara involves. Right, so there's a mishapara. The mishapara is stronger than mechusri amana. First of all, by mechusri amana we said that if there had just been an oral commitment, if there are two prices, so then according to many poskim, you're allowed to say, look, I found it cheaper somewhere else, I'm backing out on the deal. But if you already pay for it, or you already made a down payment for it, so in that case, everyone agrees you can't back off. You made a kinyan, you bought it already. Midor raisa, the kinyan is finished. Because you found it cheaper somewhere else later, that doesn't help. That's no heter to give it back. And the Maril Diskin says in his Tshuvas, he says, okay, so we commonly say, look, I'll make a deposit, and I know that if I change my mind, I'll lose the deposit. I'm willing to lose my down payment. So he says, even though you're agreeing to lose your down payment, that's also wrong. It's also a mishaparo, wronger than mechusri amana, because you made a kinyan with your down payment. You have an obligation to go through with that. If you, either the buyer or the seller, changes his mind, even though, the case of the buyer, he says, okay, I'm willing to give you the down payment, I'm leaving the down payment, so in that case, he'll still be liable to a mishapara. Right? Okay, so I was just going to say that by mechusri amana, for sure it says that if the other party agrees to getting out, he says, okay, I'm sorry, I feel bad about it, I want to get out of this oral commitment, and he agrees, he's mochel, so then it's no problem. Now, what's the practical effects of someone who has a mishapara? He has a mishapara. If someone makes a mishabeirach, it makes us feel good. And what happens if someone gets a mishapara? So a lot of posts can say that he now becomes puzzle for Eidus. Right? Someone who steals is puzzle for Eidus. So someone who's a Rasha can't be an aid. So they say that someone who's chayv to deserves a mishapara, he is like a Rasha, so he can't be an aid. That's pretty embarrassing. Like someone, calls him out to be an aid at a chasen, and he says, like, I'm sorry, I can't be an aid because, a few years ago I backed down on a deal. He becomes an aid and he's a apostle aid, so it's not a good kedushin. It's not a good transaction. He can't be an aid according to many poskim. Some say once, if he actually got a mishapara, we don't do that nowadays, at least, I don't know, in Baltimore they don't do it, but if he actually got the mishapara, so then it's like he got paid up already, and then he could be an aid. But even there are many poskim, and I have these Mara Makamas and Divi Gaon, and he brings the Machlokas, there are many poskim that say that just the act of reneging on a deal after you paid money, which deserves a mishapara, that's enough to make someone that he can't be an aid anymore. And certainly all the things we said about someone who's a mechusar amana, where we said that the Bezin would force him to go ahead with it until they would kill him, certainly if he paid money, they would. If there was a real Bezin around, or someone asks you advice, what should I do? I paid money to this person, and now I see I could get it cheaper. Do you think I should back down and lose the deposit, and it's worth my while to buy it somewhere else cheaper, assuming that he wasn't price gouging me? So you should tell him that that's a very bad idea, because you made a oral commitment, you paid it, that you made a kinyan d'araisa, and if you would back down, you'll be chayav mishapara and pasul le'edus, and if there was a bezin here, they would beat you up and make you do it. So if you want my advice, I'll tell you that you should go ahead with the deal, even though it doesn't feel so good now, because you found out whatever happened that you can do better somewhere else. That's right. By mechusar amana, we said that there's a machlokus if you find it cheaper. That there's a machlokus by mishapara. Everyone agrees that it's a befeirush gemara. The gemara has a case where they found it cheaper, and they said, if you back down now, there'll be a mishapara on that. But once again, we're talking about tatalon only.
Right. The seller says to you, I'm still,
Yes, and that you know, if ahead of time, as you tell them, look, I'm. You say, look, you tell them, look, I'm willing to go ahead with it because I want to stand by my word and I'm a person of integrity. I don't want to be a mechusarman. I don't want to have a mishapara. But I'd really appreciate it. You know, I'll help you find another buyer because this and this happened, something unexpected, or I just got one for free. Someone gave me a present. You know, I'd appreciate it if you'd get me out of it. And according to some poskim, we'll have to make a kinyan back. You know, it's because we'll do a kinyan daraisa. It's not so simple. So then there wouldn't be a problem. You're telling him, I'm willing to go through with it, but if you know, I appreciate it if you would get me off the hook over here. So then any deal they make, any agreement they make, then you say, okay, keep the down payment, you know, do what you can. But you have to show him that. So it's not an avera. You're saying, look, I'm willing to go ahead with it, so there won't be an avera. So I won't be doing anything wrong. I'm willing to be a person of integrity and go through with it. I'm just asking you to get me off the hook, to do me a favor, to get me off the hook. So in that way, I'm not doing any avera. If I say, look, I'm not willing to buy it, but here, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, but I can't go through with it. So then you're saying, look, I'm doing an avera, maybe. You're doing an avera and asking him to be mochel you afterwards. So it's better to say, I'll go through with it, but please, I appreciate it if you get me off the hook.
Get a mishapara. Who gives these out?
Bezdin gives it out. Right. So it's a machlokes haposkim where the Bezdin says in third person mishapara hu yifara me, this person, or they bring him and say they're going to pay back from you. Right. That's machlokes how they say it exactly. But it's a Bezdin thing. And I'm saying, and that's in addition to what they would do by mukhlis harmana, just for backing down in the oral word, that it would be something that they would back down and they would, you know, bang him down until he does it, because they want best and it forces people to do mitzvahs, and this is a mitzvah to stand by your word. Okay, so this is all assuming the seller is willing to go ahead with it. The seller has the merchandise and he's willing to give it to you. If the buyer backs down after he paid for it, or if the seller backs down and the buyer is willing to go ahead with it, so in that case they have a mishapara. It's a very wrong thing to back down after money has been paid by the for these metaltalin, for these movable objects. And like we said, even without the money, there'd be mechusar amanan, but it wouldn't be quite as much teeth as the mishapara. But our case was talking, the Marsham was talking, where it wasn't around anymore. The item's not here anymore. It got burned up. So what's halacha then? So the ma'isa to machlokas v'shonim. Most v'shonim, the Rif, the Shai, what Rashi holds, so that's what the whole takana was. The whole takana was, what was the whole reason they made a takana? They said that the attic might burn down, burning up the wheat, and he won't save it fast enough. So what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim said, it's your wheat now. You're the buyer, it's your wheat. You're the seller, it's your wheat until he actually has it. So if the seller's wheat gets burnt up, the seller lost his wheat, and the buyer will get his money back. That's what most Rishonim say. The Baal Hamor, however, holds that the Takana only gave the person the right to back off legally. There's a Mishapara, but it gives each of them a right to back off. But the Takana did not go so far to say that there's no Kinyan Deraisa anymore. Like you asked in the beginning, Midaraisa, it belongs to the buyer, and the Chacham say it belongs to the seller. So the Baal Hamor says no. The Chachamim said it still belongs to the buyer, and if anything happens to it, it's the buyer's loss. The only thing they said was so that the seller will be energetic in saving it. They said you should know that he could change his mind if he wants. He could change his mind, and the seller will always be, he'll feel it's not finished yet, and he'll try to be energetic to try to save it. But if it's not here anymore, if the merchandise got burnt up, according to the Baal Hamor, then you can't retract anymore because you have nothing to give back. The whole idea according to the Baal Hamor is you can retract because give me back my money and I'll give you back your merchandise, which is now legally mine. But if it's burnt up, I have nothing to give back to you. According to the Baal Hamor, I would not be able to retract the sale at that time. So it's a machlokas v'shonim what happens in this case. We paskin the Shulchan Aruch paskins reish dalet sif beis that if he gave the money and an onus happened that he couldn't take the merchandise, he can say, give me my merchandise or give me back my money. And even though we know that there were edim, that it was, there's nothing the seller could have done to prevent the tragedy, to prevent the accident, the seller still has to give back the money from that sale. The Devar Gaonim says that, how about let's combine the two things we had until now. He bought he gave money for the merchandise. He bought the refrigerator, paid money. Then he wrongly retracted the sale, where he deserves the Mishapara now. And then the refrigerator got burnt up, and he says, ah, good, so now I off my Mishapara. Right? So the Devar Gaonim says, it doesn't work. He brings a machlokus, whether he can retract it after he got that Mishapara. So it's just interesting. It's interesting how Rav is here. So it would seem that we would conclude, whenever you pay money for something, you are certainly not allowed to retract the sale, assuming everything was all the details were taken care of and you paid the money, even though you didn't physically take possession of that object, you can't retract it. And we said, even if you didn't give the money, if you just there was an oral commitment, an oral agreement, even then there's a mukhus ramana, there's problems in retracting, reneging on a deal. But we would say that's only talking where the seller can deliver the merchandise. But if the seller cannot deliver the merchandise, so then even though midoraisa kesef is a good kinyan, even though midoraisa it's really my stuff that burnt down, but since the chacham made a takana that you don't really own it until you physically pull it into your possession, so midrabanan, you didn't lose it, it's the seller's loss. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and that's the way most poskim paskin. However, just to leave one last wrinkle, the Marsham, who asked the Shaila about the hides, he wanted to say that the buyer does not have right to get the hides or get his money back. Because we're going to learn that there's a certain type of kinyan called situmta. Situmta means that if there's any common practice where a handshake or bracha v'atzlocha or something, whenever there's something that's a common practice that consummates a deal, so that's a kinyan on its own right. That's a kinyan in its own right. So the Marsham says it could be that nowadays when you go to a store and you pay money for something, common practice is that that's a finished deal and you can't back out anymore. So even though the Chacham might have said as Kinyan Kesef, it won't work because there's this Gzeira Nisuf Chitach Ba'aliyah, but it might be Situmta, there might be a common practice Kinyan, a new Kinyan, not Kinyan Kesef. This might be Kinyan Situmta. And in such a case, the Marsham held that, and he said the Shul Neshev agreed with him, that nowadays, at least 100 years ago, money was commonly the vehicle of transaction in the world, you know, not just in the Jewish world, but all around, and even by Jews, they considered money as final word, as a final kinyan. So it could be that throws a long monkey wrench into the whole thing and says, We weren't talking about Kinyan Kesef anymore. As our whole shiur up until the last 2 minutes was talking about Kinyan Kesef. That's where we say that Midaraisu Kinyan Kesef works, Midarabanan it doesn't by Metatlin. And that's where we have the whole thing of the Mishapara and all these different things. But if there's a new Kinyan called Kinyan Situmta, it's like a handshake, so then that works completely. There's nothing to talk about anymore. And in that case, we would say that the loss is to the buyer. Whatever was a common business practice, yeah, but the money wasn't at that time. The Gemara talks about other things that were common practices that they are. Situmta is just that catch-all for anything that's a common practice. That makes it into a kinyan. So in the times of the Gemara, money wasn't that. Everyone knew. People, Rashi says that when people gain money, they're still nervous. Well, asked by Karka. But money wasn't the whole thing until you have it in your possession. And I'm not sure if the Marsham is so simple. If nowadays we really think, you know, when you give your money, it's the end. I hear that he's saying it could be. Yes, that is a return policy. So. Yeah, the return policy says you have to return it. That means you did.
Then you have to do it for a certain number of days after you sign a contract.
Yeah, whatever the contract says, you can do it if it says it. You know, if that's a minute.
State law.
Yeah, if there's a law, right. So that becomes a minute. But we're talking where there's nothing overriding it in general, the Mishapara, or once the Kinyan's done, it's all over. If there's agreement, then you have 30 days to return it, so then you have that agreement.